So ahead of tonight's gala ceremony at Dublin's Convention Centre, former Waterford boss Derek McGrath is on the line to pick his All-Star 15 for 2022. And Derek, let's get stuck into this straight away. Who is your All-Star goalkeeper this year?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most contentious or difficult picks in that. Sometimes I think Nicky Quaid doesn't get the credit he deserves, given the fact that Barry Nash and Sean Finn and Mike Casey are so dominant, almost like the James McGarry situation a number of years ago. I know Murphy is makes some outstanding saves, but I'm gonna go against the trend, and I'm actually going with, I'd like to see Nicky Quaid get it, and I think he's vital to the whole way that Limerick play, and it's very much a 50-50 call, but I'm gonna nudge towards, probably surprisingly towards Quaid.
You say the goalkeeping position is competitive, Derek, but you could say the same about the full back line. Who are the first three defenders on your All-Star 15?
Yeah, look, I think the two corners take care of themselves, Sean Finn and Barry Nash. Like, Nash has reinvented the whole role of a cornerback in that often his man will go out the field and he'll stay and he'll do a lot of sweeping, a lot of hurling there. Sean Finn is your resident man marker, manages to hurl, manages to negate a direct opponent, and just a brilliant, brilliant all-round player, very composed. The full-back one, for me, was between Mike Casey and Hugh Lawler. And I'm going to go with Lawler, just based on a kind of a solid, really consistent year, leader for Kilkenny throughout the year.
No room for Mikey Butler, Derek. Why so?
Good question. Yeah, look, I think he did some really good man-marking jobs on Tony Kelly, on various opponents throughout the kind of contest. And then when it came to the Limerick final, his role wasn't as clear, and therefore I don't think he was as suited to just playing kind of zonally or you know, hurling, if you like. I'm not saying he can't hurl, but I think, you know, for me, it's a case of the opposition, Finn and Nash, being slightly ahead of him, more so than anything else.
Are there a couple of Limerick players in your half-back line, Derek?
There are, and unsurprisingly, Dermot Burns at 5, brilliant year, Declan Hannan at 6. And again, I've probably gone against the trend here. I go probably with Padraig Mannion at 7. The Limerick boys take care of themselves in terms of their dominance at the half-back line. Dermot Burns was sensational all year, and Declan Hannan, I think, improved as the year went on and was the standout centre-back for me. And I thought Padraig Mannion, in a Galway team that pushed Limerick all the way, was very good playing that kind of zonal wing-back position as well.
Which two players make up your All-Star midfield, Derek?
Yeah, I was looking at that because sometimes I remember when Kevin got an All-Star in 17, I think he was picked in the forwards. And I was just looking at the content or who was available. Like, yeah, David Fitzgerald, Ryan Taylor, Tom Monaghan, Fitzgibbon. And then for me, Adrian Mullen, albeit he played wing forward for a lot of the games. He played midfield against Dublin, got 6 points of play. He played very well against Clare, spending a lot of the time in the midfield, even though he might be lining out wing forward for Puckett. So for me, it's Adrian Mullen, a shoe-in. And I'd like to see Will O'Donoghue get one because I think he's a real important factor in how Limerick set up in terms of what Dermot Burns and Declan Hannan are allowed to do. So David Fitzgerald, particularly unlucky from Clare, I'd add in.
Can you talk to us a little bit about Will O'Donoghue, Derek? What does he bring to this Limerick setup?
Well, I think what he does the most is I looked at his tackle count, I think, for the All-Ireland final. And I think he was the highest tackler in the middle third. So what that means effectively is that when Declan Hannan's man comes deep down the field, which he does at times, Declan Hannan then will man the D and he'll basically hand over responsibility for his man to William O'Donoghue, and he allows Declan Hannan to sweep, I suppose, and he allows him to kind of dictate the play as a quarterback. And I think he's the best chaser on the Limerick team in terms of just getting back, hook and block. And I think he's deceptively quicker than people think. I remember him chasing both Jamie Barron and Shane Bennett in two rockets in the All-Ireland semi-final of 2 years ago. And, you know, keeping pace with him, if you like. So I think he's quicker than people think as well, you know?
Yeah, he's a real enforcer in the middle of the field for Limerick, Derek. So that's 6 Limerick so far. Are there a few more green jerseys in the half-forward line?
There is. Look, there's Garrod Hegarty at 10, in my opinion. You know, I think I heard him interviewed after the All-Ireland where he said he just loves playing in Croke Park, and brilliant final, and you know, his goal in the Munster final as well was a treat, a little flick over the head onto it in bad conditions. And I think I remember preparing for him in 18, even in 16, and pointing out to the lads the skill level of this guy, not just the physique, but the actual hands, the wrists, the poise, the timing. So he's a serious player, and obviously produced his best performance in the final. I've gone with Kyle Hayes at 11. Again, another example of being able to deviate, being able to change, being able to adapt to new positions. Wing back last year, centre forward, full forward, different parts of the year, and really came alive, I felt, in the semi-final and final. And then I've gone with the great one himself, TJ Reid, at 12, if you like, as part of the half forward line. So it's a fairly significant half forward line, Gerard Hegarty, Kyle Hayes and TJ Reid.
There's been a bit of a debate lately, Derek, about the greatest of all time and whether TJ Reid comes into that category. If you were to choose between TJ or Henry, which way would you go?
Oh, Jesus, it's actually hard. I often think back to the 2008 final, Tomás, as a spectator, you know, and TJ coming on as a sub that day and getting 5 points in the second half, you know, and I'm kind of saying to myself, there's Richie Hogan and TJ coming on as subs, and his career path is only starting then. So I just think that it's very hard to kind of, and I'm not avoiding the question. I think let's go through all the different traits they have. Work ethic, work rate, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant attitude from both. Physically in immaculate condition, skill level extremely high. In the air, I think, Jesus, TJ is a beast in the air, you know, and lovely soft hands as well for what he creates. And the one thing I like particularly about TJ, I think he's very calm, you know. I think he's very, for a fella that has so much expectation, I like his calmness. You know, I love his development in terms of his calmness. I'd say there's a good psychological approach that he works on there. And so look, I call it a tie for now because it's hard going, but TJ's longevity to go into the next few years will probably dictate the conversation going forward.
I'll give you an easier question, Derek. Who are the three forwards that complete your All-Star team?
Well, again, I'm not sure what the positions will exactly, but Gillan will be somewhere in the full forward line. I'd imagine either a 13 or 14. Again, a brilliant, brilliant year. I'm going to go with Conor Whelan from Galway. I thought he had a really good, solid year as well. And it comes down then for me then to, you know, not the numbers game, but, you know, the Owen Codys, the Tony Kellys, the Lee Chins, the Donald Burks, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I you know, for me, it's Tony Kelly, albeit, you know, the Kilkenny game was a game where Mikey Butler probably dominated. But I think even in the game against Wexford, where Damien Reck or Shane Reck was right up in his face, I think he managed to nip over 4 or 5 points near the end of that game. I think Reck went off and he went to town. And I think for his Munster final performance alone, his performance down in Ennis against Limerick as well, I don't think they should be forgotten when the conversation takes place. So it's Gillan, Conor Whelan and Tony Kelly for me.
Yeah, that sideline in the Munster final will go down in folklore, Derek, down in Semple Stadium. So just look at your team in total. You have 9 Limerick, 3 from Kilkenny, 2 from Galway, and then Tony Kelly representing Clare. In terms of Hurler of the Year, Derek, Dermot Burns, TJ Reid and Barry Nash are shortlisted. Who gets your vote?
Yeah, look, for me, it's Dermot Burns, just based on a kind of a start-to-finish approach. Go back to the Munster round-robin games. I think he was particularly outstanding, even down in Cork, when the pressure was on Limerick, having underperformed in the league. I thought he was outstanding. Had a slight dip at some stage, but not a major dip. But just, you know, a long range. I know you don't get a Hurler of the Year for long-range free-taking, but I just thought his consistency over the, you know, the 6 games, I suppose, was particularly outstanding. I love Barry Nash hurling because, Jesus, Tomás, we were setting up for the 2016 league semi-final and Barry Nash was wing forward, scored 3 or 4 points against us. And I just love the flexibility of what Limerick have done. And I think it shows lots of people what can be done when a fella is relocated to a particular position. You know, people would scorn upon it a few years ago if you said that we're putting Barry Nash back, corner back. So I love that Kinnerk and Coyley have had the gumption to do it, you know.
So the All-Star ceremony coming up very, very shortly at the Dublin Convention Centre. So Dermot Burns is Derek McGrath's pick for the 2022 Hurler of the Year. Just to turn into local matters, Derek, new Waterford boss David Fitzgerald has his first match on Saturday night under lights against the underdogs at the SETU Arena. He's someone that you're very familiar with. What do you think Davey will bring to Waterford over the next couple of years?
Yeah, look, I'm delighted with the appointment. First, I'd say is that anyone that puts their head above the parapet and seeks an interest in an inter-county job, I'm not saying they're mad. They're not mad, but they're, you know, they deserve great credit for putting themselves out there, if you like. And I think Davey has great confidence in that regard, and that he's, you know, that he's gone for the job. And he, just from listening to echoes, and I actually met him just the once since he was appointed, and he's hugely enthusiastic, like hugely. you know, focused on what he needs to do and what he has to do. So in terms of what he'll bring, first of all, there's not too many people that have won an All-Ireland and a two All-Irelands as a player, one All-Ireland as a coach and manager, one Fitzgibbons, one Munster Championships, one Leinster Championships. So when there was a little bit of negativity around his appointment, I was very surprised at the lack of kind of, you know, nous around the fact that Davey has, you know, he's a seasoned, experienced campaigner. So the other thing is the assembling of the backroom team. You know, if you have a guy in your backroom team that's arguably one of Tipperary's best hurlers ever, you have Peter Queeley, who has managed consistently at club level in Waterford, managed at county level, you know, really, really good guy. You have Donnick O'Callaghan, who I'm not sure has the 100 caps for Ireland in rugby. So you can imagine the background of someone that's worked under Eddie O'Sullivan or Joe Schmidt or Declan Kidney and all the expertise that they can bring to the particular setup. And the last point I'll make, Tomás, is I think sometimes people can be a little bit, quick to kind of judge Davey. They think that he's welded to a particular system, etc. And, you know, maybe I'm blind, but I watched the Camogie final over the last couple of weeks. Keely Corbett, Barry was a plus one on one side. Claude Acara was a plus one on the other side. I never see Philip Manny marking anyone for Ballygunner. I watched Ferns win the Wexford Championship and there was a plus one on that side. So I think Davey will not be afraid to tactically bring Waterford up to a new level, I think. And I just think we just need to all get behind him. And maybe last year I probably was accused of being overly optimistic around Waterford's chances. But I think they're in a nice position this year in that. And even the early start with the underdogs match, you know, you're getting them back, getting them at it early. And it'll be a chance to kind of just, you know, see guys for what they've given during the club scenario. And I think Davey will introduce a few guys as the year goes on too.
And your name, Derek, was linked to the position when Liam Cahill stepped down initially. Were you interviewed at any stage of the process?
No, Tomás, I wasn't. And nor did I seek any, you know, interview. I suppose, look, Waterford is a small place. You sometimes if you come out and deny a rumour or you run with the rumour, sometimes I don't know what way I would have dealt with it. I would have been on holidays when people were kind of ringing me saying that you're about to be appointed tonight. But I'd have a plan in my head around my own youngest or my oldest boy. He's doing his leaving cert next year. And not that I'll be any aid to him or anything, but I'd like to be around a bit more whilst he's doing his leaving cert. So I do have ambition to get back involved in inter-county management at senior level at some stage, but not right now in terms of the family situation. Not that my boys are Sarah wouldn't mind me getting involved. They'd love it, but just not right now. So I wasn't interviewed, nor did I seek an interview, nor did I, you know, express an interest in it. You know, I think when I went for the job, when Michael Ryan stepped down, my club, put my name forward, etc. And you went through the interview process and you duly got the job then. So it's just something that didn't interest me at this particular time. But I'm 200% behind the boys nonetheless.
Yeah, that's very, very honest from you, Derek, as always. And just finally, will we see you involved with any team in 2023?
Yeah, look, I've been kind of, I won't say in negotiations, but there's a possibility I might do a bit with Dublin on under 20s. I see now. I haven't kind of made up my mind yet as regards that. So it's not that it's an exclusive or anything. It's, you know, I've been asked maybe to give a hand there after Christmas in a role that would suit the kind of time commitments that would be necessary. There'd be no pre-Christmas expectations on me. And, you know, I might get involved maybe once a week up there as a kind of a, you know, you watch people in coaching circles, whether it's rugby or whether it's hurling or Gaelic football, and they've sampled other cultures, other environments. I really enjoyed the Laois experience with the minors. We got to a Leinster final for the first time in a long time last year, beaten by a brilliantly prepared Offaly team. And, you know, it might be a chance maybe to experience the Dublin culture in a less committed way, but something I look forward to nonetheless if I take the opportunity.
Well, former Waterford boss Derek McGrath, an absolute pleasure to talk hurling with you as always. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thanks a million.